Welcome to The Calling. I'm John Nichols. Wherever you are and whatever's happened, God is calling you to something greater and higher. On The Calling each week, we hope that you learn more about your own calling from God by hearing the calling of others. Now serving in ministry at the Christ Point Church, Tina Qualls. Tina, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You serve in a variety of ways, and you help a lot of people, but your walk with Jesus started way before Christ Point.
Yes, it did.
Can you tell us about how that journey with Christ started?
Yes. Well, actually, it started a long time ago because my parents raised me in a Christian home, and my mother prayed for me to be in ministry. I know she did, but you know, back then, I was saved at an early age. However, in my young adult years, I kind of drifted away from the Lord, like many of us do. And but God was always tugging at my heart. He never, ever left me. In fact, sometimes I wanted him to, and but he never did. And I thank God for that. And I know it was because my mother was praying. But I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a minister. My mom and dad had a Christian group, a gospel group, and we traveled a lot. So I was in church a whole lot.
Mm.
And I think that's why maybe I drifted away when I was in my young adult years. But thank God that they instilled that in me.
Yeah. So what drew you back to church? If you drifted away mm-hmm. like I did and so many of us did, what drew you back?
Well, I could say it was a tragedy that drew me back, but God never let go of me. And I knew that my journey was going, I was going to come back to the Lord. Of course, I fought it for a while, but there was a tragedy actually that happened. And my mom was killed at the age of 39. And so at that point in time, I remember laying in my bed and just crying out to the Lord, me being away from the Lord, still crying out to the Lord and saying why. She was such a good woman. And I remember distinctly the Lord speaking to me. People say that he doesn't speak to sinners, but he spoke to me mm-hmm. in my spirit and said, she's where she longed to be. What about you?
Mm.
And so I didn't come back to the Lord at that moment in time. However, that started my journey back.
Yeah. What happened next? What led you to now leading a church? What fill in the gaps for us?
Oh, wow. There's a lot there. But Steve and I have been in ministry now for, I'd say, near 40 years. And I started going to church when we first got married by myself, because I knew that we needed to raise our family in church. So I began to go. He wouldn't go initially. And then somebody that he worked with invited him to church. And he said, hey, if we're going to go, I'm going to go there. So we went there, and we ended up not going back for 6 months, and then we started going back again. And when we did, both of us went back. I rededicated my life in 1988, and he got saved at that point in time. And after that, we were just so excited about the Lord that all we could do was just work in the church. We didn't know it was a calling at that time.
Mm.
And but we just worked in the church, and anything that was going on, we were there. And so at one point, the Lord spoke to Steve and said, I want you to be the next youth minister. And there was already a youth minister there, but God worked it out. Their doors closed, ours opened, and we began our journey in ministry there. So it was very exciting.
That first church, talk to us about that church. What did that church do well to connect a young and excited couple who's on fire for Jesus to the ministry? How did they do that for you guys?
We had actually two couples in particular. One just nurtured us. One just took us under their wing. He was a minister himself. He and his wife saw something in us that we didn't see in ourselves. We were rough, and they just took us under their wing, and they would invite us over to their home and began to talk about the Lord, but it was not in a threatening way. It was not in an intimidating way, and took us through like first saved classes, just got real with us, really got in our lives in an intimate way. That, and then we had our son, and when we had our son, they just kind of took him under their wing as well, and we just became a family with them. They did that very, very well and discipled us to, I guess they saw something in us at that moment that we didn't see in ourselves, and just wanted to nurture that, and they did that very well.
You use the word disciple, and that's a word that, you know, I hear all the time in church circles, but it's always fascinating and beautiful to me to hear churches that actually do that well. Based on all of that experience, what has that led you to do in that regard today at Christ Point?
Well, it very much has impacted us. That's never left us. The first of all, the hospitality that they extended to us has been just a foundation for me and Steve as we have went through the ministry. We were first in youth ministry for near 20 years, and then associate pastorate and now lead pastor, which we never wanted to jump from one to the other. But in each one of those stages, we just wanted to love on people. And when we loved on people, we then were able to get into their lives. And as you get into people's lives, we call it now known, loved, and challenged. Mm. When you get into their lives and they know that you love them, then you're able to challenge them to deeper walks with the Lord.
How do people – that's good stuff. How do people know that you love them?
Time. I think time invested in their lives is the most important thing. And today, it's getting harder because time is something that no one has a lot of. We are distracted. We're busy. Everybody is. And just being able to say, hey, why don't we get together and have a meal together? Or why don't we get together and just talk, go over coffee or whatever? Taking time, I think, and it doesn't happen quickly a lot of times, but I think taking that time shows them that you care on a deeper level.
I was in the Word this morning reading about Jesus and thinking about the word compassion. And I read somewhere that word compassion that's used about Jesus is feeling or seeing with your heart. And that's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, absolutely. And that we're real in that. We truly, it was extended to us, and we want to extend that to others because it's never left us.
More on the calling right after this break. That's perfect. Welcome back to The Calling. I'm John Nichols. On The Calling with us this week, we have Tina Qualls from the Christ Point Church. Tina, again, thanks so much for being with us. Right before the break, we were talking about being real with people, loving people, having compassion, spending time with people. Can you talk to us about how that's really impacted the whole ministry journey that you've had through all the different types of ministry that you guys have been a part of?
Yes, we, like I said, we started out in youth ministry, and when we began the ministry, we knew nothing more but to just get in there and get to work and love on kids. And one of the things that I still look at today in lead pastorate is that when someone looks like they are, or we look at them as if they are valued and show them that they are valued. And when they begin to bloom in what God's doing in their lives, it's the most wonderful gratification ever. And that's, again, as I was stating earlier, that's what the couple did for us. And they made us feel like that we were worth taking time with. And so I would find the kids that sit alone in youth ministry and kind of were timid, and I would just go to them and say, would you help me with something, and give them a task, and then encourage them and say that you did really well in that. And as I began to do that, I noticed that it was effective to them, and they felt like they could accomplish something. And then seeing them bloom to, I mean, we'd do all sorts of competitions and all things, and seeing them rise up to those levels and then seeing them on their face before the Lord, it was the most impactful thing in my life ever. And we carry that over to Christ Point today.
I've been in ministry for a long time, and one of the things I know about the church is so beautiful, just the Big C Church, you know, all over the place. Church is so beautiful. But I also know that when you see people with your heart, sometimes you have some good church folks that don't always love that because it means you got to get your hands dirty. Talk to us about how you deal with some of that.
Yeah, I ministered on Mother's Day, and one of the things I said is that this walk is the most gratifying, wonderful walk that there is. However, it is difficult and it can be messy at times, and it certainly can be. And you know, there's not everyone is going to see things the same way that we do. I remember my son, he had a learning disability, and we had to have him tested and all sorts of things. And one of the things that I grabbed from that was that we don't all learn the same way. So I have had to, in ministry, I've applied that in that we don't all see things through the same lens. And I've got to be patient with that. And it's taken me a long time, and I'm still not there completely, but, you know, I've got to be patient when people don't see things, you know, or things even in the Bible that maybe they misunderstand, and try to be patient with them to show them the love of Christ in a way in which maybe they can start seeing that. Again, it takes time.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with pushback or hardship? Let's say hardship in ministry. You lead a big ministry. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people that you serve. You help people. You love people. Right. You teach people. How do you deal with hardship?
Well, it's funny you ask that because, you know, we're dealing with a situation right now. But it seems like that the more difficult it becomes, the more you learn if you choose to. Mm. And the Holy Spirit's had to wrangle me back many, many times because my frustration level and all the stuff, you know. But I would say that the way I handle it now is I try my best to step back and say, Lord, what is it that I can learn from this? Do I always do it well? No. But I try to look at it that way, and mm-hmm. it seems to help me. It calms me.
Tina Qualls is our guest on The Calling this week. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Calling. I'm John Nichols. On our show with us this week, we have Tina Qualls from the Christ Point Church. Tina, could you walk us through what does a normal day in ministry look like for you right now, if there is such a thing as a
right.
normal day?
Well, a lot of times it's not always normal, but a normal day would be I go into the office actually there in person at least 3 days a week. And then the other times we are doing off-site ministry. It's just you've got to be ready for most anything because you never know when someone's going to need you when they're hurting or whatever. We've had several funerals as of lately and you know, just the calls to come to the hospital and the things, you know, detrimental situations for people's lives, the 9/11 for their life, you know. And we've just got to minister to those. But, you know, a lot of times it's simply directing people to what needs to be done, trying to see where we can place people in connection, which is very important to us. We feel like that connection is very much a stability for people to stay in church mm-hmm. and when they can connect. So trying to see different ways that we can connect people.
One of my favorite thing about pastors and leaders is just the love for church. You know, as basic as that sounds, you know, just the love for church. What do you, when you think about the church today, what are some of the biggest needs that you see in church today?
There is so much trauma in our world, emotional, psychological, and all sorts of different things, addictions, so forth. And I think that it has ramped up a lot in the past few years. At least I've noticed that. I lead a class called Freedom. And in that class, we just go over childhood trauma and things like that. And I think a lot of times people think that, you know, we go through things and you just kind of push it aside and you get over it. But it comes out in other ways. And just being able, for me, I absolutely love the Freedom class, being able to spend time with people and show them that past does not have to dictate their lives and mm-hmm. going forward. And Christ is able to show us that, that there's a way different than what we've known maybe in our lives. But I love ministering to women. And in that class, that is one of the greatest things for me to do. But it's just it's a joy to be a part of a community that loves on each other. And like you say, it's not always pleasant, or it can be messy, but it's so gratifying to see when somebody comes out of sin into a life with the Lord and just flourishing. I think of one gentleman in particular. He came from a terribly addicted situation, and now he is serving in a high-tier leadership position at church, and just to see, and he's on fire as he ever was. So I just love seeing those things happen.
Yeah. How do you stay fresh with the Lord? What do you do?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we can all get stagnant from time to time. I know I can. But one of the things is giving ourselves some grace. I know that having a rhythm, and I have just learned this recently, in that having a rhythm does not always mean that you're going to have the same rhythm all the time. There's seasons. And if we can give ourselves some grace and understanding that, you know, my rhythm last year, it may not be the same rhythm as it is this year, and not to be mechanical in that, you know, and I'm talking about reading the Word and studying, which you should always do, and praying and seeking the Lord. However, it could look different. My life may be crazy busy, and I have to find time in other ways, you know. So I think giving ourselves grace, it's helped me to be to stay fresh and to know that God extends that to me, and He doesn't always want to put me into a mold that maybe I can't fit into.
Yeah. One of the things we hear regularly from people who either listen to this show or just people in and around church in our community is they want to walk with the Lord more deeply. Maybe they're in church, you know, they visit or whatever, and they warm a pew. They sit on a chair, and they hear us talk in church, and they want more passion. Mm-hmm. They want more intimacy with Jesus, but they don't know how to have it. Mm-hmm. What encouragement would you give to them today?
Again, connection is so vitally important, I believe. Starting out in a small group, maybe even a themed group that meets your need, whatever that may be, and become a family with a small group, because that connection, we've heard this said recently, that people can quit the church as a whole, but quitting that small group and that small family is harder to do. So when those connections come and they're built, I think that we are able to keep people, to help them to move into a deeper relationship with the Lord and help them to understand that, because those small groups are intended for that purpose. It's like the Acts church, you know, coming together and breaking the bread together. And then when you do that, you can get into a deeper relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are intimidated by small groups still yet, but we do encourage that highly at Christ Point Church.
What encouragement would you give to any pastor or church leader who may be listening to our program today?
Well, you know, we all can quote the scripture, don't grow weary in well-doing. But as the day approaches, we see that it gets harder and harder. The frustrations mount, and it does. I mean, as we've been in ministry near 40 years, it's hotter now and harder now than it has ever been. But stay the course, because what do we have to go back to? Nothing. And how many lives can we still impact for Jesus Christ? And I want to stand before the Lord, and I want Him to tell me, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Enter in. So,
amen.
And then I want to see all those treasures.
If you could go back 40 years ago to your first year in ministry, knowing everything that you know now, what would you tell yourself 40 years ago?
Stop letting the frustrations get into your heart and your mind so easily, because they dictated a lot of my actions for a while. But the Lord had to get a hold of me and tell me to stop focusing on those that we don't have or those that can't, and focus on the ones that you have and that that can and that want to. He's the one that does the convicting, not us. And I think that frustration would come because I was trying to move people in places that maybe the Holy Spirit wasn't moving them into.
So one of the hopes that we have each week is that folks listen to our program and they hear something and they think about their own calling. So maybe somebody's out there right now hearing something, trying to discern something in terms of their own calling. What would your word to them be today?
Investigate that. Absolutely investigate that, because there's a plan and a purpose for each of us. And you never know who you are going to encounter and who could rise up to be great in the kingdom, or you could rise up to be great in the kingdom, which that's what God desires for us.
Mm-hmm. Wherever you are and whatever's happened, God is calling you to something greater and something higher. Tina Qualls, thanks so much for joining us
today
on The Calling. I'm John Nichols.